So many companies delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025, 1063, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to Superbook Sports, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios, Radio Row at Super Bowl 57. And our coverage from Radio Row brought to you by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in the Richland Creek Shopping Center. Pay no money down and no interest for 1 year right now during their tax refund sale. Caroline is here. Hello, Caroline. How are you?
Hello, I'm great. How are we doing over there in Phoenix? You're looking awfully tan.
It is outstanding. Joe Retrode is with us. It is time, like we always do on a Wednesday. I don't know why it was a Friday. Like we always do on a Wednesday for Jared versus Joe.
Jared Stillman versus Joe Retrode. Now on Stillman and Company
on ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Jared versus Joe is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Caroline, first of all, Joe, always good to have you on the program. Caroline, where are we starting?
So I know that we said that we didn't want to do this every week, yet we're going to do it every week because we've got some new insight coming in from an NFL guy. Thomas Dimitroff says the cap is not real.
Oh, my God. He did not say that, Kapanon. Kapanon, this is pathetic, Kapanon. Are you kidding me? Just end
what'd he say?
It. Jared wins. Kapanon wins. I don't care. I'm so sick of this. He did not say that it was fake. He had actually said it wasn't. And then you're like, but it was a pathetic attempt on your part, Jared. Pathetic. And this is the question you did not ask him because you wouldn't ask him. This is the question. Thomas, did you ever cut a player because of the cap? And he would have said, well, yes, many, of course. It doesn't mean that there weren't other considerations when they were called cap, but of course you wouldn't ask him a question like that. Pathetic. End it right now. Jared wins.
With Arthur Blank, the question was never about
I heard it.
Cap. It
I
was always, yeah.
I heard it, Jared. It was pathetic.
You heard it, and you knew that I was right, and you knew it killed you that general manager said it.
Yeah, pathetic.
All right, so should we just go on to the next?
Let's just go on to the next. Joe, this is what Joe does when Joe's wrong. Joe takes his ball and he goes home.
If Kapanon wants to keep going. No, I'm not taking a ball and going home. The onus is on you that no one in the NFL ever cuts a player because of the cap, which is an idiotic thing to think or say.
Okay, see,
that's
what
it.
You're saying would
you lose.
Be like the what you're saying is the equivalent of somebody who's against the vaccine to say, you need to prove to me that every single person who died didn't die of the vaccine.
No,
that's what
no,
you're saying
no.
to
it's
me
the,
about the
no.
cap.
And in fact, Jared, it's the opposite, see? It's the opposite. That's what you are doing, Kapanon, because here's the thing. You have a lot of smart points about the cap, about how, yes, people always put it on the cap, and a lot of times it isn't. Good point. Cash matters. Fair point. Absolutely. You can kick the can. You can get creative. It's not a soft cap. Absolutely. All good points. All smart, nuanced discussion. But then you flip it on the ear by saying it's never the cap, and that's just stupid, man. And I'm sick of it. I really am. Like, we're just wasting more time.
So, Texter says, maybe clean your ears. He said the salary cap is a budget after you attempted to persuade him otherwise. A budget. We were talking about cash. That's what it is.
Right.
It's about
Again.
Cash. And budgets
right.
are real.
Right.
Like, I
yes.
have a budget. I can't
yes.
spend a I can't buy a freaking Maybach because I can't afford it. That's the – like, I don't think the Titans are going to be interested in Aaron Rodgers because they can't oh, – not can't. They don't want to pay $60 million for a quarterback.
Right.
That's why.
So,
but not because
okay,
of the cap.
Right. Except, and here's where you're wrong. If they did do this, there'd be a player or two that would be on the team, a mid-level player. You focus on the top guys. Oh, they go after Watson. But there are mid-level players. You'd rather have them on your team, veterans, decent players. You have to then make sacrifices in that group too. You have to. So there will be a diminishing effect on the roster because of the cap if they were to get Aaron Rodgers. Stop it.
I'm not sure there would be. Like, Okay. mean, I don't
oh, you're
think,
not sure?
I think they...
Oh, you're not sure? Oh, really? So you're already backing they could, off? They... My God. If you're going to die on a hill, man, die on the hill.
It's the money, Joe. Joe, it's the money.
It's always the
it's,
money.
If Amy Adams Strunk says we're going to pay $200 million for our team and one guy takes up $60 million of it as opposed to $27 of it, then that affects the other guys that are going to be on the team. But as far as, oh, we can convert this to signing bonus, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You can always find a way to put somebody on your team if you really want them. That's the thing. The guys who get cut because of the cap really aren't that important because of the cap. It's, oh, we have to cut Bud Dupree because of the cap. No, you cut Bud Dupree because he never plays.
So you just admitted I'm right. Thank you. Good. Finally.
Hell.
Some sense in your head. I appreciate it.
All right, Caroline, what's next?
You just
okay, on to the next one, Capanon Incorporated. Tim Kelly elevated from passing game coordinator to offensive coordinator. Is that Vrabel just promoting one of his buddies, one of his guys, because he wants to keep it in-house? Or is that really the best thing for this team? Joe, you go first.
Well, look, the idea of Vrabel promote, like, I just want my buddies to come hang out with me and let's just, you know, play some football and call some plays. Man, how about some cigarettes? Let's pass out some Camel Lights, get some pizzas. Let's have a good old time. I mean, you know, Vrabel, I think, certainly, obviously, goes with people he knows, but I'm assuming he goes with people he knows who were good, who he worked with, or at least who he thought were good, right? I mean, the thing is, Todd Downing doesn't qualify as a quote-unquote Vrabel buddy. Todd Downing was an outsider. Now, Vrabel, I think we could all agree, made a mistake in giving him the OC job from the tight ends coach like he did with Arthur Smith, but he doesn't actually fall into the category of Vrabel's buddies. He falls in the category of a guy who coached under him for a brief period and got that opportunity. You know, London, Kelly, these are guys from Houston who obviously go way back with Vrabel. There's a whole bunch of Ohio State, Houston, and New England, all that in Vrabel's hires. But is this the best thing for the Titans? Look, I look at this timing and I have to think that there's something real about some of the other outside candidates. And I just, you know, I know that they announced some of the other positions, but this timing seems to me like maybe someone they were looking at got the word out that, yeah, you can go ahead and move on. So we're never going to get the absolute answer on that, but it seems that way with the timing. Is Tim Kelly the best thing for the Titans? I don't know. I think Tim Kelly has a pretty impressive short resume as an OC when you consider how bad the team was in 21, when you consider that Watson had his best season with him as OC, Davis Mills regressed badly without him this past year and actually looked like a competent quarterback for the second half of his rookie year. How much of that is on Kelly? I don't know. Vrabel was a terrible defensive coordinator by resume when he got hired for the Titans to be the head coach. But I think people who are freaking out about this and think this is some brutal, like, ah, it's just going to be the same old crap, but it's his buddy, I think you're overreacting pretty significantly.
So I think that Mike Vrabel only trusts people that he knows, and it's hard for Mike Vrabel to trust somebody that he doesn't know. Like, it's hard for Vrabel to interview somebody and listen to it and say, okay, I trust you. I don't think he's comfortable with that. And I think that's what leads him to hiring people that he knows, because 90% of the people that he hires, he knows. That being said, I do not think the Titans actually looked outside the organization for an offensive coordinator. I mean, the thing about coordinator jobs is when somebody interviews for one of them, everybody knows. Just like how we know that Chris Harris has interviewed for all these defensive coordinator jobs. Why? Because their agents tell people. The only two reported interviews the Titans did were Charles London and Tim Kelly. Why? Because they had to interview a minority, so they interviewed Charles London, and we said right then and there, Coach Shoup
said, They hired Charles London. They hired Charles London. So, I mean, if you're going to put that on the Rooney rule, I mean, they actually did hire him.
Right, but for a lesser job.
Yeah, but they hired him, sure. So, so all the Nagy stuff that you believed, you now think that that's all, no, that's all,
yes,
all BS?
I think it's, yeah. I don't think it was, no, I don't think it was out there, because why would Matt Nagy stay with the Chiefs as their offensive coordinator?
It was out there that they reached out. What's that?
Right, and that Nagy didn't respond. It came out that Nagy didn't respond.
Okay. But in the meantime, you have Hasselbeck.
So I'm now
supposed to assume Nagy.
Sure. And now I think that, you know, I thought the way that Tim was talking about it was like Tim knew, and now I don't think Tim knew. I think I was wrong about that. I don't think the Titans went outside of the organization at all.
Okay, but like you just said, it was reported that they did reach out to Matt Nagy. So that is one example of them being out there along with Bieniemy. Right.
But
so
they did interview him.
I understand that. What I'm trying to say is it kind of looked like they interviewed two people.
One guy was a Rooney Rule candidate. The other guy was the guy they hired.
Like I said, it kind of feels like they reached out. Again, who knows what back and forth there was, but you know there's tons of back and forth when these things happen. And you look at Vrabel's quote about waiting on an opportunity, and then all of a sudden you get this hire announced. I think it's very feasible that they reached out. I agree they didn't interview him. That would be announced. But that at some point he expressed, nah, I'm good. So now that doesn't count. If that's true, then that doesn't count. What you said is not accurate, that they didn't look outside. Now, if you believe that Vrabel just resolved and never really seriously looked outside, then I think that's a mistake on Vrabel's part.
If they said, okay, we are going to try, right? Like, we are going to really try to interview all these great candidates, and we're going to look outside our organization. Just because one guy says no doesn't mean you stop looking and get a check mark for you tried. No, you have to actually interview people, and they didn't. They didn't. They interviewed two people, a minority candidate that they hired for a lesser position, and the guy they ended up hiring. And they had to hire the minority candidate because of the Rooney Rule. They did not look outside. I believe the reason why the coaching staff was announced yesterday was because Chris Harris didn't get the 49ers defensive coordinator job. So I think that Tim Kelly's been the offensive coordinator for a little bit, and I think that's why they waited to announce it. And I don't think Vrabel went into the offseason, just like when he got up there and said, I'm still evaluating Todd, and fired him 5 minutes later. I think Vrabel knew who his offensive coordinator was going to be the whole time. Just like how I think Vrabel lied yesterday when he said that he didn't think it would make a difference if he changed the play caller in the middle of the season, because that's ridiculous.
What, he lied?
Oh, yeah. When Vrabel said that changing the play caller in the middle of the season wouldn't have made a difference. I mean, does Mike Vrabel know
that's
that?
That's his opinion. Well, that's his opinion.
But you know that it's clearly going to make some sort of a difference. Now, it might make things worse, but to say that it couldn't have made it is...
No, but what he's saying is that they were completely screwed with their personnel. And now if you do that, you change everything. And
so then why did
he fire
the coordinator?
What?
So why did he fire the coordinator?
I don't know, man. I've heard you say you think Amy Adams Strunk made him. You don't think that anymore? You're flip flopping on a lot of things these days, buddy.
No, I do think that everybody got blamed for last year, and that I think if Vrabel could have kept Downing, he would have kept Downing. Instead, he went with Downing Jr.
Well, then that does
the
that
other
up.
Guy that he had
so
on
that does
staff.
That up. Okay. So if Amy Adams Strunk made him fire these people, then that isn't that consistent with what he said right there?
Amy Adams Strunk made him fire people. What are you talking about?
Okay. You're saying his comments about, no, I don't think it would make a difference. Also, the hiring of Keith Carter's assistant, all of that to me sounds like someone who was forced to fire people. So if that's the case, you shouldn't be surprised to hear him say, I don't think there would have been any difference.
I mean, I still think that there would have been a difference one way or another if they had changed play caller. To think that it would have been the same is ridiculous.
Right. You would have taken a person with a huge amount of responsibility and basically said, either fired them or said, you go do some busy work. And you would have strained your staff even more while working with a completely worthless offensive line and no receivers.
So you think Vrabel actually tried to hire an offensive coordinator who wasn't Tim Kelly?
I didn't say hire. I'm just saying that the timing and the tea leaves read out that it looks like he at least considered it or reached out. Try to hire? I don't know. But I think you were on the right track with Hasselbeck pounding that. There was a reported reach out. We don't know the back and forth. You know there's always back and forth. And now we have this right before the Super Bowl. So, look, I don't know. You could be right that it's Harris, although I believe he's still in play for another D.C. job, correct? Is he not in play for one more?
I don't know.
I thought that there was still a possibility. Regardless, I don't know. You could be right, but I don't think that we have absolute confirmation that he just decided, it's just going to be Kelly all along. Let's just say a bunch of BS, and we'll decide to announce it when we want to. If that's true, then I think that's unfortunate, and that's a big mistake by Mike Vrabel.
More Jared versus Joe. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. TriStar Moving is my official movers. That's right. I love TriStar Moving. I moved with TriStar Moving 2.5 years ago, and the move was excellent. And I would recommend doing it again. And that's why I always tell you all to move with TriStar Moving. They're great. Their owners, Garrett and Robert, are local Nashville guys. They're my friends. And I tell everybody, get a bid from TriStar Moving, because TriStar Moving, you will experience the difference of moving with a company that cares. That's TriStar Moving. And I'll give you 10% off, which is a big deal because moving's expensive. 615-640-1219 or visit them online at nashvillemoving.org/radio. That's 615-640-1219, nashvillemoving.org/radio. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you for 10% off your entire move. TriStar Moving, my official movers. More Jared versus Joe presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville, live at Super Bowl 57 Radio Row. Caroline, what do we have?
All right. So a whole lot of Aaron Rodgers talk this week. Would you rather have Tannehill save $30 million, have the 11th overall pick, or give all that up for a couple years of Aaron Rodgers? Jared, you go first.
Who goes first? You know, I think Lombardi and Dimitrov have convinced me that I think I would take Rodgers in that case. You know, I thought that they were both going to be like, oh, no, I'd rather have that left tackle with the 11th pick or that receiver with the 11th pick and all the players I could get for $30 million. And both former general managers were like, nah, we'll take Rodgers. And the big thing with them was, if I could get more than 1 year out of Rodgers, you know, you better be sure that it's more than 1 year from Rodgers. And you said a couple of years of Rodgers with what you just said. I think you got 2 more years max of Derrick Henry, which means 2 years of Rodgers. I think those guys have convinced me. I guess I would do it, whereas I woke up this morning and I would not do that. So you guys can call me a flip-flopper or whatever you want. I'm just telling you that after having talked to those two former general managers, those two football guys, for them to both say, yeah, we take Rodgers if we know it's more than 1 year, that I think I can roll with.
Yeah, I would definitely do Rodgers, especially if there's a second year. That's a big deal. But, look, Tannehill's good. He's had a good tenure here. He's still working off that last playoff performance that I'm not going to forget about. So I understand Aaron Rodgers has had a lot of playoff failures himself in recent years, and there's some extra crap that comes with him. But there's no comparison in the quality of quarterback. And with an Aaron Rodgers, that's someone who has the ability to elevate a team, unlike Tannehill. So I think that's an easy call.
Do you think there's any chance that that happens, though?
I mean, I think it's incredibly slim.
Like, I don't know if Vrabel wants it. I mean, I think the two times Vrabel's been asked about Tannehill, he has hinted towards a return with Tannehill each of the two times without completely, you know, putting his foot down on it. And I don't think we're ever going to get Mike Vrabel putting his foot down on anything after the A.J. Brown stuff last year. And yet, at the same time, it's almost like Vrabel can't commit to Tannehill, because I don't want to say he doesn't have the authority to commit to Tannehill, but because he doesn't want to chop Rand Carthon's authority out from underneath him by declaring Tannehill his quarterback. But it feels to me like Vrabel wants Tannehill to be his quarterback next year.
Well, Yeah, okay, but again, I'll say this every time this comes up. I don't think you can 100% commit to him because you have not gone through all the draft process of these quarterbacks, and that you have to approach this draft with the 11th pick like you might take one of them. You have to. So you don't know that you don't know that you're not going to be completely entranced by one of them and decide this is it. This is the guy, we're going to eat it for a year, and we're going to have a high pick in 24, and all of a sudden, look, we got the rookie quarterback clock, and look at us now. I mean, that has to be somewhere in the pie of possibility. To me, a higher chance, certainly, than Aaron Rodgers.
So the Bears blog reported that the Titans have inquired about the number one pick, and I asked Porth, like, what's the deal with the Bears blog? And Porth said that, you know, 75% of the time he's wrong, but sometimes he nails things 100% and he does have a source. Well, Porth said sources inside the organization. I will say this. I have found out this week at Radio Row who the Bears blog's source is. And I will tell you that knowing who his source is, there probably is some truth to that rumor that the Titans have inquired about the number one pick. I'm not going to give away any more hints. But I am going to tell you all that I do believe, after hearing who that source is, that the Titans did reach out to the Bears about the number one overall pick.
Wouldn't the Titans be completely botching their jobs if they didn't inquire?
I mean, I guess, I mean, but how often
why wouldn't you inquire?
But the Titans didn't inquire on the number one pick last year.
Okay, but you're at 11 now. I mean, you actually, you know, I mean, it's a, who knows, a different situation. I don't know that they did or didn't. I mean, do we get every single call or inquiry reported? No.
Was the number one pick up for sale last year?
Yeah, I mean, I don't recall.
Was it?
I mean, with no quarterback, if there's no Joe Burrow there, I think it's always, you know, open for business. It's when there's, you know, Trevor Lawrence or Andrew Luck or one of those guys that it's like, I mean, you could offer your entire roster and you're not going to get that pick. But like Jacksonville,
that's also when teams inquire, right? Because they want someone like that. So this is a year that maybe the Titans already believe in one of those guys strongly.
Caroline, what's next?
Next question. AJ Brown totally dunked on the Titans and Titans fans yesterday. How should Jared, and let's not forget that he also dunked on Jared. How should Titans fans feel about where AJ Brown is right now? How should Titans fans feel about the trade at this point? Joe, you go first.
You guys have the audio? Because I didn't hear it. Or paraphrase it for me.
AJ laughed and said no comment and then said, but I do expect that question from you.
What was the question?
How does it feel that he's in the Super Bowl and that the Titans didn't even make the playoffs?
How the heck is that him dumping on Titans and Titans fans?
I don't know. I mean, it is. The way he said it.
He laughed and was like, ha 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 ha, no comment.
It was. To me, it was AJ basically with his no comment and the way he acted with it was basically F you to the Titans and F you to me. That was kind of what it was. And the way I said it was like, look, AJ walked the walk this year. You know, I thought AJ in Cincinnati or AJ in Philadelphia wasn't going to work. I did. I thought AJ in Philadelphia, I thought the Philadelphia market, I thought AJ's injury issue, I thought the fact that AJ drops the ball, I thought the fact that AJ could be a baby sometimes. I didn't think it was going to work. And maybe the chip on his shoulder about hearing all of that when he got traded is what has motivated AJ to have the season that he's had. But he's at the Super Bowl, and he's on a super team, basically, and the Titans stink. And so he wins. The guy who made the trade got fired. I mean, AJ won. And so people like me, not Joe, but people like me who stood up and said, you know, hey, I think that AJ Brown, that this was, you know, I voted for that referendum. Those people are wrong. AJ was right. And at least for right now, you know, the moment belongs to him. Now, I do remember when the Predators got to the Cup final with Peter Laviolette And it was like, wow, you know, Barry Trotz is about to get fired in Washington, and they've got Peter Laviolette. So this is great. And then all of a sudden, 5 minutes later, you know, Barry Trotz wins the cup in Washington. So, I mean, things can change, and Treylon Burks can be the next Jerry Rice, I guess. But right now, I mean, I think AJ's right. AJ's game did his talking this year, and he rubbed his ass in the Titans' face.
So I just want to make sure, I want to clarify, are you suggesting that your criticism and predictions of his failure motivated him? That are you taking partial credit for his season?
I mean, I'm not, but at the same time, clearly AJ listens to what I have to say. So, I mean, maybe it did. I don't know.
So just imagine, we could live in a world where A.J. Brown sucked this year and Stretch was the Titans GM, if not for your show. My God, Jared, amazing. Applause.
I literally just said, when you said, are you taking credit? And I said, no. And you're like, oh, now you're taking credit for it. Ha, ha, ha.
I still feel like they really missed that opportunity with Stretch as GM, you know? The genuine Titan investigation. I don't know. And to answer Caroline's question, I think Titans fans should root for A.J. Brown. I don't think he's done anything that's all that egregious. He's got the Twitter finger sometimes. But also they should
– Joe, he spanked the goalpost with a towel.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
you don't talk enough about that.
On the field that day. Well, yeah, okay, on that day when he was kicking their butt and then he told them about it, yep, okay, that to me is, he earned that. But, I mean, as far as, like, stuff, like this latest thing with you, I guess I'll have to listen to it. But, I mean, if he said no comment, you know, I think maybe we're taking a little bit of a leap there.
Well, I don't think we're taking a leap. Like, I don't think that A.J. Brown is, like, you know, I don't think that A.J. should be, like, I don't know what the right word is here, reprimanded for what he said. Like, I mean, to me, AJ just, you know, stuck his middle finger at the Titans with his no comment and his laughing. I mean, it was basically like, what do you think about the fact that you're in the Super Bowl and they're at home, and it's like a text message AJ sends back, LOL, screw them. That's what it was. And I don't think it was like egregious. Yep. I think you're trying to make it sound like AJ was, you know, like his Derrick Henry or his camp at NBA or whatever. You know, that thing. It's not. But, I mean, I do think that, you know, AJ can gloat. He's at the Super Bowl. And he's a big reason as to why his team's at the Super Bowl and he can gloat.
He also, for the record, I mean, this week put out a thing thanking Rob Moore. And, I mean, you know, that before that game and after that game when he kicked the Titans' butts and rubbed their faces in it, he probably talked to, you know, just about everybody on the Titans' sideline individually. So, you know, there's always – a little bit more to it.
Caroline, who wins?
Well, Joe so rudely assumed that I was going to give Jared the win because of the cap question. So I considered reconsidering, but considering the week and considering who was there, Joe retroactively gets a win for his take on AJ Brown.
Didn't you already do that once?
Yeah, I can do it again if I want. I'm the judge.
So Joe assumed that he was going to lose, and because he assumed that he was going to lose, you give him the victory. Jared,
No, I did not say that.
But that is what happened.
No.
I mean, AJ didn't say screw you to the Titans, but that's exactly what he said.
That's not what I said at all.
AJ said no comment.
I considered reconsidering Joe's win since he so rudely assumed that I was going to give you the win, but I figured if Joe was the only one of the three of us who was right about AJ, then Joe deserves to gloat just as much as AJ.
Here's the real question about this, because this is where we really
I just
disagree.
Like hearing you two argue
you
with each
think,
other.
Do you think the Titans actually tried to hire somebody whose name wasn't Tim Kelly?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Okay, there you go. That's the difference between me and Joe. Caroline, Joe, thank you. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will roll through your phones next because we have not gotten to phones in a while. 615-737-1025 Stillman and Company, 1025-1063 The Game.
Mike, can you talk a little bit about, I guess, the thought of, you know, the hiring Tim in-house versus maybe hiring an offensive coordinator from the outside who might bring in different ideas and a different system?
Well, I'm confident that there will be new ideas, new, you know, concepts. You know, again, there's a lot of things that you can invest your time with. And, we're fairly certain that, where we've invested a lot of our time is, been in one particular system. I know that that'll change in the spring. I think this will be a great time to, figure out, how much you want to invest in some of these other schemes and these ideas. You have every offense and every defense, everybody has to have an identity, which is critical, things that you're going to be able to do and then have plays off of it. So, in my interactions and my meetings with Tim, I'm very comfortable that there'll be, continue to do the things that we do well, the things that we feel like we do well that we want to continue and enhance. And then, bring in new ideas that he has, that Arthur, or excuse me, that Charles has, or even other guys on our staff.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel talking about the addition of Tim Kelly. Let's go to your phones as promised, because our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Texter to the text line says, it doesn't matter who the coordinator is, even if Todd Downing had been retained, as long as Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback, there will be no excitement for the Titans on offense. Let me say this about excitement. I used to always get mad. David Poyle used to say this a lot about how, we're in the entertainment business. And he would say that time and time again. He would say, we're in the entertainment business. And I used to think to myself, who cares? Like, the only thing that matters is winning. Like, we didn't care when Ryan Tannehill was throwing for 80 yards and they were winning playoff games on the back of Derrick Henry. The excitement, nobody cares. I don't care about what excites the fans. I care about what is going to win football games. And that is how I have always been when it comes to these type of decisions and what you're going to, again, all I care about is winning. And the decision of, that won't excite the fans, that does not do it for me. So when someone says, I want excitement, I have no time for that. You can watch Malik Willis play bad football and it's not, it's not boring because it's so bad, but I'm not interested in watching any of that. Tyron in Brentwood is up next. Thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. What's up, Tyron?
Good to be with you again, Jared. Couple of things. First, on the Vrabel thing, I believe he's really running the show. The fact that they hired the offensive coordinator in-house kind of just tells me all I need to know. They can talk about reaching out and collaboration, but really he's the de facto general manager, and he's running the whole operation. And be careful, Tennessee, because it's one thing if you win the Super Bowl to give somebody that kind of power, but we'll see. On to my Brady point, I sat back last week and soaked in it when he retired, the quick little message. And to me, I spoke with Felger Madge yesterday. So I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it at all, and I'll hang
you
on this
called
it
a Felger Madge yesterday, Tyron?
I sure did. And I told him, I'll tell you, Brady to the Dolphins is common sense. He would be a Dolphin. It's very convenient for them to come out last Sunday and say, we plan to stick with Tua. We're not expected to pursue Brady. 72 hours later, Brady retires. They got hammered with tampering last year, paid a stiff penalty. So how do you eliminate potential tampering charges leading up to free agency? Okay, Brady retires. We'll announce we're sticking with Tua. There's no way in hell the Dolphins, a Super Bowl roster, is going to stick with a guy that had 2 to 3 concussions in a 3-month span. I don't buy it. I didn't buy Brady's fake retirement a year ago, and I believe he will be a Dolphin next year. And he'll do it again and come back and unretire. People will kill him for it. I won't, but that's
Tyron,
to go.
Tyron, what did Felger and Maz say to you when you made that point?
Maz said he could see it kind of coming true, and Felger said, I wouldn't be shocked, and Murray kind of laughed, and he's like, man, the young retires again, my goodness. Ooh. But, I mean, and I also talked to Zolak, and Zolak didn't see it. Beto kind of said he believed Brady would think about it. But I just believe everything that was in play, Jared, for him to be a Dolphin last year is the same thing this year. He's an unrestricted free agent. I just don't buy he's retiring. I just think he'll be a Dolphin. He lives there, got a mansion. They need a quarterback. I just think this is all a big
I think the one thing – the question is – thank you for your call, Tyron. The question with Brady, and I think Brady's retired, and everybody I've talked to here thinks Brady's retired. then I was, you know, Felger and Mass have a thing called Super Tuesday every Tuesday at the Super Bowl. It's a big ordeal. And I actually went last night to Super Tuesday. And, you know, again, everybody I was with last night, they believe that Tom Brady is retired. Like they like, there's no extra, well, you know, this could happen. No, they think he's retired. I think Tom Brady's retired. And I'm the biggest Tom Brady fan. You all know this. I'm the biggest Tom Brady fan who's out there. The real question about the Brady and do you believe the Dolphins when they say that they're going to stay with Tua? And I do believe the Dolphins, not because I would do that, because you all know me and you all know that I would go with Tom Brady. But I buy it because if Brady could have played in Miami, I think he'd be the quarterback of the Dolphins. And I think it was known to him, it was told to him, they're not interested. And once he heard that they're not interested, that was probably that. And then it was time to hang it up. But I think if he could have gone to the Dolphins, he would have. I think the Dolphins are actually, truly, legitimately going to go with Tua. I wouldn't do that if I were the Dolphins. But again, this isn't about what I would do. It is about what I think they're going to do. And that's what I feel. I think that they're going to end up going with Tua and probably finishing second or third in that division. Maybe even fourth if things get really bad. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Continuing on from Radio Row, thanks to Social Furniture, and we will do that next. Stillman & Company right here, 1025-1063 The Game. Stillman & Company live at Super Bowl 57 Radio Row, presented by our friends at Social Furniture. And, of course, one of our big friends on the program is FanDuel Sportsbook, my official sportsbook app. It's also a sportsbook partner of the National Football League. Andrew Sneed is here, the EVP of marketing from FanDuel Sports. Andrew, first of all, everybody knows I'm a huge FanDuel fan.
Thank you.
But this year you guys have a lot going on, including Gronk's kick. So take me through what we should be expecting for Gronk's kick.
Yeah, for anyone that doesn't know, we have Rob Gronkowski in a live commercial, the FanDuel Kick of Destiny, where he is going to attempt to kick a ball for $10 million for FanDuel customers. So anyone who bets on FanDuel, minimum $5 wager, you're also getting the bonus bet of the FanDuel Kick of Destiny. The one thing, the one live moment in the Super Bowl that everyone can cheer for.
Andrew, is there any chance that Gronk can mention promo code JGM when he goes up there to kick? Just because, you know, we always... I kid. Obviously, gambling's legal in Tennessee. We've seen the money that's come in. We've seen the revenue. We know what FanDuel, we're always talking about, you know, different offers and odds boosts and bonuses and things like that. But I think another thing that's really important to FanDuel is not only, you know, how FanDuel gives back into the community, but also the responsible gaming aspect.
Absolutely.
Of what FanDuel's focused on, especially given the amount of money that will be wagered on this game.
Yeah, this is the biggest sports betting day of the year. Every day of the year is important for responsible gaming. And this is a day that we want to make sure all our customers are playing well. So as part of FanDuel Kick of Destiny, we actually have the RG for RG trading cards that are being distributed throughout all of our experiences here in Phoenix. And it really focuses on all of the tools that customers have to keep their play safe and all about entertainment. So we have deposit limits, wager limits, time limits. We have a QR code that people can scan to be able to get straight to that in the app. We have 100 people at FanDuel strictly committed to responsibility and compliance. They work hard every day to make sure that we're monitoring customer behavior, seeing things that may be offside and getting in front of that. We want to be here for the long term, and making sure that we're making it fun and keeping it entertaining and safe is really important.
How important, Andrew Sneed is with us. He is the EVP for marketing for FanDuel. How important and beneficial has the Tennessee market been for FanDuel?
Huge. Obviously one of the earlier states to legalize sports betting. I love hearing stories about how folks will visit Nashville and set up their account and take the opportunity while they're in the state, even if they're not living in a legalized sportsbook state, the opportunity to get an account set up and start enjoying
Kentucky,
for example. Tennessee's a hugely important part of the business, and Nashville's obviously an amazing city and an enjoyable part of the sports betting experience and sports in general.
So what are some of the big focuses on the game itself, you know, as we talk about odds boosts and specials, and of course, you know, the no sweat bet up to $3,000 for the Super Bowl. I mean, Ken, what was the big focus for the Super Bowl for FanDuel?
So we definitely are, this is the most important time of the year to sign up new customers. It's when more sports fans.
Promo code JGM on the FanDuel Sportsbook app.
Don't forget it. That's the important way to sign up.
There you
go. Right now we have, obviously, for recreational sports fans, the ability to participate. There's 600 different betting markets, the most we've ever had for any one game. And the bonus that comes with the Kick of Destiny that is eligible for anyone who bets. And as you mentioned, for folks that are more interested in signing up and are more avid sports betting enthusiasts, it's the most generous offer for sign-up we've ever had with up to $3,000 no-sweat first bet offer.
And you remember what that promo code is, right?
No, but I'm sure you'll
JGM,
remind me.
JGM, that's the promo code. Andrew, last thing for you here. As FanDuel continues to grow, as sports betting continues to grow throughout the country and more states become, how does FanDuel, because one of the things that I always get and I always tell people about, FanDuel pays winnings instantly. How hard is that given the cash flow of all these new states coming on all at one time?
No, it's important to make sure that we live up to the obligations expected by customers. So the more states that open, the more people we have wagering, and the more opportunity it is to make sure that we deliver to the commitments of getting people their winnings quickly. So we know that's an important part of being a sports bettor and what they expect from the number one sports betting app. And having more states doesn't change that. We will continue to live up to that promise for our customers.
Andrew, look forward to seeing you around again. Thank you for your support of our program and our station here and everything else in Tennessee that you guys do. Andrew, great stuff. Appreciate you. Enjoy the
Super
Bowl.
Enjoy.
Yep. Stillman and Company, more to come. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Thank you, Andrew. That was absolutely great stuff. Again, FanDuel, great partners of ours. We're so thankful for them. Stillman and Company, we will be back out here tomorrow at 2 o'clock live from Radio Row once again. Thanks to Social Furniture for all of that. Stillman and Company, Smashville Live is coming up next right here at 102.5, 106.3 The Game.